Kayla Montgomery was a high school track runner in the state of North Carolina. At the age of 14, she was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And so because of this, when she runs, she loses all her feeling in her legs. Heat is a trigger that brings back her symptoms temporarily with no permanent damage. So as her body temperature rises, the feeling in her legs starts to go away. So I'm sure some of us, and maybe all of us, are thinking that would be great to be able to run as far as I can and not have any feeling in my legs. No pain, no hurting, nothing like that. Well, while it may sound nice, it's actually a big struggle for her because she can't feel her legs to pace herself. She has had to train herself how to go fast and go slower without feeling in her legs. But the biggest problem that it creates is that whenever the race is over, she is unable to stop herself because she can't feel her legs. And so at the end of every single race, her coach would have to stand at the finish line with his arms outstretched. And as she finished, she collapsed into his arms. He would pick her up, he'd carry her to the middle of the track, and they'd have to cool her legs down so that her feeling eventually came back into her legs, and she didn't have any damage after that. But you know, there was a period of time every single time she would finish her race for 5, 10, 15 minutes when she was in distress, when she was completely helpless. Those 5, 10, 15 minutes when she still didn't have any feeling in her legs. And so every single time, without fail, she would say, I knew what was going to happen. I knew this was not because my legs were gone. I just felt like I had to tell people I was in distress. And she would yell out, help, help, help. I can't feel my legs. I need to cool down my legs. Even though everyone knew every single time what was wrong. But she said, whenever asked about this, during that period of time when she was completely helpless, she wished she could feel the same pain that every other runner felt when she finished the race. You see, with her body in distress and with her completely helpless, pain was something that Kayla Montgomery longed for. Kind of interesting to think about whenever we put it that way. When she can't feel her legs, she wanted to feel the pain because that meant she could feel her legs again. See, for her, at that moment, pain is a good thing. And you know, as Christians, pain isn't a bad thing either. Pain is actually a good thing. And we always hear pain, and that has a negative connotation with it, but we actually need pain. We need pain in our lives as Christians every single day. Pain is beneficial for us, and it actually helps us on our journey to heaven. And so we're going to talk about pain this evening. We're going to look at 3 points. The first 2 points are things that we have to tell ourselves, things that we have to choose regarding pain. That is that pain strengthens us, and that pain teaches us. And finally, we're going to end on a good note and look and see how pain will eventually leave us. We're not always going to be in pain. So I invite you to take out your Bibles to follow along. I didn't have time to get the PowerPoint ready, so you have to listen a little bit harder tonight. Paul Earnhardt's a preacher that I look up to a lot, and he says he's always got a PowerPoint right here. So I guess I'll use that tonight. But I invite you to open up your Bibles and follow along as we look at this lesson. Thankfully, Neil had a first bout of pneumonia a few weeks ago, so I had the sermon ready to go. So whenever he lost his voice this afternoon, he asked if I could fill in. So looking forward to standing before you all this evening, and hope we can all take something from the lesson tonight. The first point we're going to look at is that pain strengthens us. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're going to look at how the pain that Hannah had in her life strengthened her as well, and see how she allowed this pain to help her in her walk with God. 1 Samuel chapter 1. At the beginning of chapter 1, 1 Samuel, we're introduced to Elkanah, and he had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. And Peninnah could have children, Hannah could not. And this bothered Hannah a lot. And what made it even worse was that Peninnah, her rival, she started to mock her, she started to ridicule Hannah, make fun of her, because Peninnah could have kids, Hannah could not. And this really got to Hannah. She was in a lot of pain, and we kind of see this pain illustrated starting in verse 9 of 1 Samuel chapter 1. says, "Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She, greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made a vow and said, 'O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head.'" So then verses 12 through 18, we see that she starts to pray to God, continues to pray to God, and she's praying so fervently that her lips are moving, but nothing's coming out. And so Eli perceives that she is drunk. And so he goes up to her and kind of rebukes her. She says, "No, this is why I'm praying like this. That she was in so much pain, she was praying so fervently, Eli thought she was not in the right frame of mind." And so Eli blesses her, they leave, and we eventually see in 1 Samuel 1, she has a son. And she has a son named Samuel. And in verse 26, I want to look at her reaction when she goes back to see Eli. 1 Samuel 1, verse 26, she said, "Oh my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. So I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. So I want to look at how pain helped Hannah become stronger. We first of all see that the pain that Hannah felt, she didn't get discouraged. She didn't get down on herself. She did, but she didn't let that overtake her. She channeled that pain, and that allowed her to pray to God. Pray to God so fervently. First of all, whenever we have pain, pray to God, because that's going to help us become stronger. Every time we pray to God, we're going to become stronger just like Hannah did. Hannah continued to pray to God. And in verses 26 through 28, we see that vow that she made, she kept it. So the pain that she felt enabled her to be strong enough so that when she finally had the son that she had longed for her whole life, she could dedicate him to the Lord. It took a lot of strength to simply make the vow amid so much pain that she was feeling, like she did in verse 11. But it took even more strength to keep that vow. And we see that she did just that, verses 26 through 28. You see, the pain, because she chose to let that strengthen her, she could keep her vow to the Lord. And we see the difference it made in Samuel's life. How Samuel became such a great leader for the Israelites. But I think it's important that we realize Hannah had a choice. And she chose to let the pain that she felt not overtake her, but she chose to let that pain she experienced strengthen her. And it's no different with us today. When we go through pain, we have a choice. Do we let that pain overtake us and completely turn away from the Lord? Or do we let that pain strengthen us just like Hannah did? We have a choice. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5 now. 1 Peter chapter 5, another passage talking about pain, and I think a couple things that it's important for us to remember as well. So remember, we have a choice when we face pain, just like Hannah did. Are we going to let that strengthen us and allow it to be closer to God, or is we going to let it overtake us completely? In 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 8, it says, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." You know, I think first of all, this passage gives us a few different things to remember on pain so that we can have the same strength Hannah did. First of all, remember that our pain and our suffering does not come from God. It comes from the devil. Yes, God allows us to go through times of pain because it strengthens us if we make that choice. But remember, Satan is the one who puts these evil things into our lives. So many times we may want to blame God for things like this, but we got to realize and trust that this is God's plan and that God is allowing us to go through this pain so that we can be stronger. Also, we need to remember that we're not the only ones going through pain. Whenever we get down on ourselves, we want to think that we're the only one who's experienced this. We're the only one who's had any pain as hard as it is right now. But look at verse 9. It says, know that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Take comfort from that verse. Take comfort from the fact that you're not the only one going through the same type of pain. That you are not the only one that is experiencing the same suffering. There are many people all around the world who are not just experiencing it, but they're overcoming it. They're allowing that pain, that suffering, to make them stronger. And then finally, in order to gain this strength, we have to resist the devil. And isn't that when it's usually the hardest? That's whenever the pain is the worst. Whenever we have to stand firm in our faith, we have to resist Satan. But that is also, because that's the hardest, that also allows us to become the strongest. You think about the times, and all of us can think about the times in our lives that we've had to stand firm and resist Satan, and we've come out of that experience so much stronger. So the greatest pain of all is when Satan's going to tempt us. He's going to want us to completely forget about God, to completely turn away. A great example is in the book of Job. Satan wanted Job to curse God. He wanted Job to completely leave God. But Job allowed that pain and those sufferings to make him stronger, to make him closer to God. So we got to resist Satan, stand firm, because that's going to give us the most strength. And then finally, verse 10, the first part of verse 10, I think is extremely important because we want to get these things mixed up. It says, after you have suffered for a little while, then God's going to reward you. He's going to do those four things for us, perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish us. So many times we want to have God reward us first and then go through the pain, then go through the suffering. But Peter says here, you've got to go through suffering first. You've got to go through that pain first. You see, and I wrestled pretty much my entire life, and many of us here probably played sports whenever we were younger. In wrestling, the practices that my coaches had me go through were always much, much harder than the actual matches that we wrestled. And they would always say, if you can make it through a 2-hour practice, you can make it through a 6 or 7 minute match. And so they would cause us to go through extreme amounts of pain and suffer a lot in those practices. Because when we got out of those practices, that pain that we went through made us stronger. And we went to a wrestling match knowing we can get through 2 hours of wrestling. Surely we can get through 6 or 7 minutes of wrestling. That's how long a match was. So in sports, don't we do that? Don't we have to go through the pain and suffering first? And that allows us to be stronger when it's actually time to compete? Well, as Christians, it's the same exact thing. We have to prepare, like we talked about this morning. And we have to go through that pain and suffering first, and then we're going to be rewarded by God. After we've gone through that pain and suffering, if we choose to become stronger from it, from those experiences, that's when God is going to perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish us. You see, going through that pain gives us the strength and the endurance that we need in the future when we go through many more trials throughout our lives. Our faith must first be tested in order to gain endurance, in order to gain the strength that Hannah gained. And we won't turn there, but James 1, the first 4 verses in that book say exactly that. And they say, you're going through these various trials so that you can have endurance in the long run. And so our attitude has to be right when we go through pain. Yes, it will be hard. Yes, there will probably be times or days when we don't think we can get through it. There will be days when it seems unbearable. But if we know that the pain and suffering that we're going through produces strength, it produces endurance, then we can have the joy that James talks about in James chapter 1 and verse 2. That when we go through those various trials, we have that joy that all Christians should have. You know, many times, whether it's physical or spiritual, it's almost human nature to shy away from pain. I've been helping out with the junior high wrestling team the past couple of weeks, and it's interesting and kind of funny to see the kids who are first wrestling, and some of them their first time playing a sport. And as soon as they have a little bit of pain pushed on them, they just collapse. And they just kind of fall and let the other person end up beating them. And sadly, that's how some of us are as Christians. Sadly, maybe it's how most of us are how we want to be whenever we go through pain and suffering as Christians. Whenever Satan starts to push on us just a little bit, we want to completely fall over and let him walk all over us. But as I'm trying to get the junior high wrestlers to understand, when you feel that pressure, you have to go through that person even harder. You have to put even more pressure on them. It's the same thing as us with Christians. When we feel that pain, when we feel that pressure from Satan, that's when we resist him, when we stand firm, and when we start to push him a little farther. We start to put even more pressure on him. And by doing that, a wrestler becomes so much stronger in a match. By doing that, a Christian becomes so much stronger in their walk with God and their struggles that they go through in life as well. You see, we can't shy away from pain as Christians. Because if we do, Satan's going to walk all over us. So let's take the example of Hannah. Let's choose to let pain strengthen us. Choose to let those sufferings strengthen us. Choose to become closer to God when we go through that pain and when we go through those sufferings. As Christians, we must fight through the pain and resist the devil, because that is what ends up strengthening us when everything is done. Pain strengthens us. The second point we're going to look at is that pain teaches us. Once again, this is another choice that we have to make. We have to choose to let pain teach us. If you would turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. This is a psalm that David wrote. It was after Nathan the prophet came to him, and he enlightened David on the way that he had been living his life in sin. And so we'll backtrack a little bit and think about what David had done and what had happened in David's life. So first of all, he lusted after Bathsheba. He acted on that lust, and he committed adultery with her. And then he had her husband murdered in battle. And this is when Nathan comes to him and says, "You are that man. You know, you are the man who is separated from God." And it was interesting, if you read that account in 2 Samuel, you notice that God could have struck David dead right there. He had the power, and God had the authority to do that. But God said, "I'm not going to remember your sin anymore. I'm going to forgive you of this sin." And so that obviously had to cause a lot of pain for David. We know what his heart was like. We know his attitude. He did not want to sin against God. He did not want to be separated from God. And to add to that, as you move on, you see that son, whenever he was born, he was extremely sick for 7 days. David fasted, he wept, he mourned, and eventually that son ended up dying. So imagine the pain that David had throughout that period of 10, 11, 12 months of his life. And now let's read Psalm 51, a psalm that he wrote as this all was happening. And what I want you to notice the first 12 verses of this psalm about how much pain David puts into this. And then notice the turn, the attitude that he had in verse 13 and following. It says, "Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. For you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." And we'll stop there. But notice the first 12 verses, David was in pain. It's easy to see how much pain he was in and the way that he talks to God. But in verse 13, it changes. And it seemed like this pain taught him something. Because he goes from upset at himself and the pain and suffering to then telling God what he's going to do. He says in verse 13, I'm going to teach sinners about you so they can come and be converted to you. Verse 14, my tongue will sing joyfully of your righteousness. Verse 15, my mouth will declare your praise. Notice how that pain, these painful experiences, taught David. They taught David to become even stronger as a Christian. They taught David to maybe teach others about the sin of adultery, about the sin of lust, so that they wouldn't be in the same painful experiences as David was. You see, when we go through pain, whether it's because of a sin we've committed, or maybe it's because Satan's just trying to get us to sin, when we go through pain, we have to have the same attitude that David had here in Psalm 51. He did not want to sin, and he did not want to cause the same pain again to both him and to his Father in heaven, and to God. And you know, sometimes, for some of us, it may be the case, pain is the best method of instruction. There's a name that I'm sure all of you all know, Tony Dungy. He was the coach of the Indianapolis Colts for a while. And they had a son. Whenever their son was born, they didn't realize this, but he was about 1 year old, and he was on the bed, and Tony Dungy was doing something, wasn't paying attention. Their son fell off the bed, and he didn't cry. And so they were very perplexed as to why he didn't cry when he fell off the bed. Every other child would have done that. So they took him to the doctor, they had tests, and they realized he had this extremely rare disease where the nerves that sense pain did not work. And so whenever other people would have felt pain, he felt absolutely nothing. And so he explains that, Dungy explains, as time went on, their son would open up the oven and reach into the oven, grab a cookie that was being baked, and just pop it in his mouth, completely burning his hands and mouth, but he didn't realize what he was doing because he couldn't feel pain. They said he would run in the house and he would hit the corner of a wall, fall down, get back up completely laughing with a big bump on his head. So they had to teach him, because he couldn't teach himself, that some of those things cause pain. Some of these things, reaching your hand into an oven and getting a cookie, is going to cause you to be burnt. And he said that was when it hit him. The reason that we have pain in our life is to teach us. So I want you to think about a time that you touched a hot pan. You touched the stove whenever it was hot. I remember the first and one of the only times I did it, I was about 8 or 9 years old. I was trying to help my mom in the kitchen, open up the oven, grab the pan with my bare hand, and got a nice burn across my entire hand. And you know what I haven't done since then? I haven't reached in the oven without something on my hand to protect. You see, that taught me to not do that anymore. That pain, I don't want to experience that again. And so I'm careful whenever I'm taking something out of the oven or I'm touching a hot pan on the stove. You see, pain does instruct us. Pain does teach us. Teaches us that we don't want us or someone we love to go through that same thing that we've gone through. And if we all have the right attitudes and right hearts as Christians, sin is painful. It is painful when we do something against God, just like David felt pain when he sinned against God. And if our attitude is like David's, that pain that we experience from that sin is going to teach us to not do that again and cause pain on ourselves and cause pain on God. You know, we learn from seeing other people's pain. We can see other people's actions that they've taken. We learn we don't want to do that again. Whenever my siblings saw the burn that went across my hand, they learned we don't want to reach in the oven without an oven mitt on. We can also use our pain and our painful experiences to help others avoid it. I think even if he didn't intend to, what David did in Psalm 51 taught us that we don't want to do the same thing he did, because we're going to experience that exact same pain that he felt whenever he sinned against God. And so we must choose, like we choose to have pain strengthen us, we've got to choose to let pain teach us, let pain instruct us, whether it's our pain or whether it's the pain of somebody we love. We have to make that choice, learn from the pain so that we don't perform that action again. So whether we experience pain because of something we have done against God, or if we experience pain because of something someone else has done against God, we learn from that, and hopefully we're so much stronger because we have learned from those painful experiences. So we have two choices to make when we're going through pain. We've got to let it strengthen us and let us become closer to God because of it. We've got to choose to let it teach us so that we stay away from those painful experiences once again. But finally, and ending on a good note, one other thing that we have to remember about pain is that pain is eventually going to leave us. When going through pain, it's extremely important to remember that. Even if we have to suffer through a painful or a bad experience, the rest of our life here on earth, if we're making the right choices to let it strengthen and teach us, then when we die, we're going to be pain-free. We're going to be pain-free in heaven for all of eternity. If you would, turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. You know, Jesus promises all of his disciples that they are going to have to suffer. They're going to have to go through pain for his cause. And Paul repeats that same promise here in Romans chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 17. He says, "And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." And so, if we're suffering with Christ, if we're going through the sufferings as a Christian, but if we're led by the Spirit, we're going to go through those sufferings. But notice what he says here in verses 17 and really in verse 18. That the glory of heaven will far outweigh the pain, any pain that we experience here on this earth. We've got to remember that. Anytime we go through pain on this earth, we have to remember the glory of heaven. If we let it strengthen us, if we let it teach us, if we become closer to God because of it, whenever we're in heaven, we are not for a second going to be painful. We're not going to be in pain one bit. The glory of heaven, think of a scale. The glory of heaven far outweighs any pain that we're ever going to experience. Remember what Paul says here in Romans chapter 8. Along with resisting the devil and his temptations and fighting through the pain, we also have to be patient. We also have to trust that God is going to provide a way for us to get through that pain. Turn a couple pages over to Romans chapter 12. And Paul gives the Romans and us some encouragement when dealing with this. Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, he says, "Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer." The New King James Version says patient in tribulation, and the NIV says patient in affliction. So Paul is saying, he's encouraging all of us, be patient when you're going through these afflictions. Be patient when you're going through these sufferings. Because, like he just said in Romans 8, the glory of heaven is going to outweigh that. And we are promised that God will allow that pain to leave us. Even if it's not on this earth, he's going to allow that pain to leave us when we're in heaven with him for all eternity. Another great passage is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 16. Very similar to what Paul said in Romans 8. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. "Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." You know, Paul is urging the Corinthian brethren here in 2 Corinthians 4 to not lose heart. Because what is waiting for them, that glory that's waiting for them, it's so great that the afflictions that we go through on this earth appear to be momentary and light. Now, I'm sure we have all gone through sufferings and pain where we do not think it is momentary or it is light. You know, if we think of it in the grand scheme of things, when we're in heaven experiencing that glory, we're going to look back and think, that pain was momentary. That pain was light compared to how great this glory is when we're in heaven. When going through hard times, we need to remember who is in control. God is not going to give us something that we can't get through. And God knows exactly what is best for us. We can get through that pain. We can get through those sufferings. We've got to be patient when we're going through them. We've got to choose to let it strengthen and teach us. We also have to remember and be comforted and encouraged by the two passages we just read in Romans 8 and in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You see, whenever we go through pain, oftentimes we want to feel better. But God wants us to be better. Many times when we go through pain, we want to be happy. And yes, God would like for us to be happy in this life, but God wants and desires us to be holy. And you know what? If we have to go through some momentary light affliction to be better and to be holy, that's what's going to have to happen. But we have to make sure we have the right mind frame. We have to make sure that we're making the right choices. Let that pain strengthen us. Let that pain teach us. And also remember, only God can give us true comfort and true peace. He is the only one who can, whether it's on this earth, whether it's in heaven with Him for all eternity. The last verse we're going to look at is Revelation 21 and verse 4. Revelation 21 and verse 4. I can't think of a better way to sum up this point about pain leaving us than to read this verse in Revelation. Talking about heaven, giving us that description of what heaven will be like. Revelation 21 and verse 4, it says, "And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." You know, when we've been sitting in heaven for 1,000 years, we will not even begin to think for one moment of the pain that we had to suffer through on this earth. That is how glorious heaven is going to be. As soon as we step foot into heaven, we're never going to remember any painful thing that we had to go through on this earth. Pain will eventually leave us. So let's make sure that we're choosing to let pain strengthen us in this life. Let it have us draw closer to God. Let it teach us so that we can become stronger. Be comforted by the fact that if we continue to do that and fight through the pain, resist Satan, and stand firm when we're going through those sufferings, God's going to make sure we don't have to experience a single ounce of pain for all of eternity. You know, pain is in our lives for many reasons, and sometimes we can't understand why we have to go through pain. But you know, there are two reasons that we talked about tonight, that it strengthens us, that it teaches us. But remember, that's up to us. We have to choose to let pain strengthen us. We have to choose to let pain teach us. And if we make those two choices and we fight through that pain, eventually, that pain is going to leave us. Going back to wrestling as we wind down, there's a phrase that is very common in the wrestling world, and it is embrace the grind. Embrace the grind. And so what that means is, first of all, my extremely unbiased opinion is that wrestling is the toughest sport there is, but I'm sure there are other sports that are tougher. But I played a lot of sports, and there is no sport, no competition that mentally and physically drains you more than wrestling does. I mean, I would wake up from wrestling tournaments on Sunday morning, and I would hurt from my forehead all the way down to my ankles. But it's a very grinding sport. It's a very grinding season. But that saying says, embrace the grind. Become a fan of it. Like those moments when you're going through pain and whenever you wake up in the morning and you can hardly feel your arms, you can hardly move your legs. Embrace that grind. The reason why that saying is in wrestling is because if we embrace the grind as athletes, it's going to make us better. That soreness is needed so that we can become stronger as athletes. As Christians, let's embrace the grind. Let's accept the fact that it's going to be hard in this life. Let's accept the fact that we're going to go through some pain. Let's accept the fact that there are going to be days when we don't feel like getting out of bed. Let's embrace it. Let's make it, let us be stronger. Let's make sure that that allows us to be closer to God. Let's make sure that that allows us to teach us so that we can instruct ourselves, so we can instruct others. Let's embrace the grind as Christians. Yeah, it's not, Jesus says we're going to suffer. But let's use that suffering to give us joy, to give us strength, to give us instruction. And eventually, we're going to have that pain, those sufferings leave us for all eternity. I'm going to go back to the very beginning, whenever I told you the story of Kayla Montgomery, the track runner who couldn't feel her legs and the struggles that went along with it. You know, in 2014, she defied the odds, and she became a North Carolina state track champion. That state championship race, just like every other race, her coach was waiting there for her. And as she crossed the finish line in first place, she collapsed into his arms, just like she had done hundreds of times before. But that time, she had a gold medal. That time, she was a state champion. You see, even with a condition like multiple sclerosis, even when she couldn't feel her legs when she started to run, she pushed through that, and she became a state champion. We're all running a race spiritually as Christians. Unfortunately, though, if we try to do it on our own, the odds are far too great for us to defy. We have to make sure that we're doing it with God's help. The only way that we can get through the painful experiences as Christians is to rely on God. It's to grow closer to Him. It's to use His Word to get us through, to use prayer, just like Hannah did, to get us through those tough times. And so, if you are not a Christian this evening, you're not relying on God to get you through the painful times of life. And there is no better time than right now to become a Christian, than to start putting your faith, putting your trust in God. Because when you go through the pain as a Christian, it's going to be so far better to get through that pain when you have God on your side. If you are a Christian, maybe you've been trying to do things on your own. Maybe you've been going through painful experiences in this life. You need some encouragement. You need prayers of strength. We can pray with you. We can pray for you. If you have any need, we ask that you would please come forward as we stand and as we sing.